Welcome to installment 52 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments, continuing with the laws of Yom Tov regarding the Jewish holidays. There is positive commandment 162 to rest on the holiday of Shavuos, and prohibition 325 not to work on Shavuos. We also have positive commandment 163 to rest on Rosh Hashanah, and prohibition 326 not to do malacha on the Rosh Hashanah. Yesterday we gave the Rambam's introduction to these laws in a general form, in which the Rambam refers to all of the laws of Yom Tov together, giving the source from where we know that there is a positive commandment. Since the verses state Mikra Kadesh, a holy assembly, the Talmud explains that the holiness is expressed in the refraining from work. And this lack of work is the rest which is done on Yom Tov. Work again is, as we refer to in the laws of Shabbos, not what we would commonly call in the English language work, but malacha is a legal concept in Jewish law, relating to the categories of creative activity which were involved in the creation and building of the tabernacle in the desert. This which is prohibited on Shabbos is prohibited on Yom Tov as well, with the exception of those things relating to the preparation of food, as the details of which we discussed in yesterday's portion and will continue to discuss today. The Rambam gives a second source from which we know that a particular holiday is a positive commandment, from the word Shabbosin. Anytime the word Shabbosin or rest is used, our sages say that this is referring to a positive commandment. And so too, both of today's holidays, one of them has the statement Mikra Kadesh, which is the idea of sanctifying it with refraining from work, and the other contains the phrase Shabbosin. Positive commandment 162 is the positive commandment to rest on the holiday of Shavuos. As the section of the holidays in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, in this case, verse 21, states, "Grosem be'etzem ayem hazeh," that on this day, referring to the holiday of Shavuos, or as the Rambam terms it, Atzeres, on this day, Mikra Kadesh, it is a holy convocation, meaning again that it is a sanctified day, a day in which to refrain from work, and the rest done on this day is positive commandment 162. The prohibition not to work is expressed in the same verse, which states further, "Kol melecha saveh delei sasu," that any sort of work may not be done. Therefore, one that works on the holiday of Shavuos is nullifying the positive commandment of rest and violating the prohibition not to work. And as the Rambam explains at the end of this section in the prohibitions and the laws of Yom Tov, that the penalty for violating this prohibition is lashes. The same applies to yesterday's mitzvahs, the holidays of Pesach, and so too for the holiday of Rosh Hashanah and all of the other holidays we're discussing. Shavuos is actually unique among the Jewish holidays, in which the date on the calendar is not given in the Torah. All the other holidays, such as Rosh Hashanah, but there are second holiday we will discuss today, are given. It is given a date, the 1st of Tishrei. Sukkot is the 15th of Tishrei. Pesach is the 15th of Nisan, and so on. However, Shavuos is said to be the 50th day after we begin counting the Omer. The counting of Omer begins the second day of Pesach. 49 days are counted, 7 full weeks, and then on the 50th day you shall make the holiday of Shavuos. As the calendar has been permanently established, the holiday of Shavuos happens to always fall out the 6th day of Sivan, which happens to be the day on which the Torah was given. And therefore we say in our prayers, Zman Matan Teiraseinu, the day on which our Torah was given. However, it was not always like that. On some occasions, depending on how long the months were, one could have Shavuos on the 5th of Sivan or on the 7th of Sivan. Nevertheless, the holiday itself is based on the number of days after the beginning of the Omer. Therefore, there is an important legal ramification today of this fact. Since it is not based on a calendar date, but on the days of counting, a person who crosses the international date line in the middle of counting of the Omer of this 7-week period will get himself into deep trouble. Should he cross the date line and reach a place in which they are counting a day ahead of him, he is not allowed to count the same as their day. He must count up to his if he was holding up to number 11. Although they are counting the 12th day, he must nevertheless keep to his own personal count. And when they get up to day number 50, he is only going to be up to day number 49. They are all going to make the holiday of Shavuos, and he may not. And conversely, should he lose a day, he will reach day 50 before everyone else. He will be prohibited from doing malacha, and they will not. All sorts of problems are created as far as observance of the holidays, which prayer to say, reading of the Torah, and so on. Therefore, it is more than advisable to avoid crossing the date line in the middle of this 7-week period in order to avoid such complications. The third commandment of today's portion is Positive Commandment 163. Again, a positive commandment associated with the holiday, this time the act of resting on the Rosh Hashanah. A few verses later in the same section of Leviticus, this time verse 24, states, "B'chedesh ha-shvi'i b'echad l'chedesh," that on the first day of the seventh month, the seventh day counting from the first month of Nisan, meaning that the seventh month is Tishrei, Yilachem Shabbosin, it shall be for you a day of rest. And as we quoted from the saying of our sages, which the Rambam has mentioned on previous occasions, Shabbosin, or a day of rest, refers to a positive commandment. It is a positive commandment to rest on the Rosh Hashanah. In the next verse, we have the corresponding prohibition, that one may not do any form of work. And this is Prohibition 326, not to engage in any act of malacha on Rosh Hashanah. The Chinuch explains that Rosh Hashanah is a holiday not only for the Jewish people, but for the entire world. It is a favor for us and a favor for the entire creation. That if God would not give us a chance to correct our mistakes, then they would just pile up, and our errors and our misdeeds would get to such a tremendously unmanageable point that we would be totally beyond repair. We would be unable to correct them. However, every year we can make an accounting, and we can hope to correct our mistakes and better ourselves in the coming year. And this is actually what the entire world is dependent on. As our sages say, that should the Jews not keep the Torah, and should the Jews cease to exist, God forbid, then the entire world has no purpose for its existence. And the entire existence of the world, therefore, is dependent on our existence, the existence of the Jewish people, and therefore on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, and also Yom Kippur, which we utilize to correct our mistakes and reach a higher level of service of God. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that on Rosh Hashanah, a brand new revelation comes to the world. The world does not simply keep on going the same way year after year, but rather a new revelation comes every Rosh Hashanah, a revelation which has never existed since the beginning of creation. And this special ray of light, this special godly revelation, lasts from the beginning of the year, from Rosh Hashanah, until the day, the last day of the year, Erev Rosh Hashanah of the following year. And at that point, a new revelation comes to the world, and again elevating the world to a higher level in a way than it has ever reached before. With this, the Alter Rebbe explains the verse in Chumash, that God's eyes are upon the land of Israel from the beginning to the end of the year. Why doesn't the verse just say that his eyes are upon it constantly? But rather, there is a specific godly revelation from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And this is hinted to in this verse. The Mittler Rebbe also stressed the idea that this holiday is called Rosh Hashanah, literally the head of the year. Why is it not called the beginning of the year? It is like the head, which contains within it the movement of all of the limbs of the body, everything of which is dependent upon the head for its life and for its direction. So too, every day of the year is dependent upon Rosh Hashanah. There is a saying that sometimes a person will find during the year that a day goes by and he finds he has hardly accomplished anything. And this could perhaps be traced back to a few hours or even a few minutes on the Rosh Hashanah, in which a person wasted their time, and this was expressed during the year, and a whole day being wasted. This concept of Rosh Hashanah affecting the rest of the year was also relayed by the Baal Shem Tov, who says that the same concept applies to the entire month of Tishrei, known as the seventh month, the Chedesh HaShvi, that the word Shvi in Hebrew is related to the word Zviya, meaning saturated, filled, in that the holiday of Tishrei is saturated with holidays, and it also satiates and fills up the rest of the world with everything we have, the rest of the year, with everything we have gained during these holidays. The Simcha from Simchas Torah, this joy permeates the rest of the year, and so on for the rest of the holidays. In our case for Rosh Hashanah, perhaps the rest of the year we should remind ourselves of the story of Rav Aharon Karlin, who once in the middle of the prayer service, when he reached the section which states HaMelech, the king, he suddenly broke out crying and fainted. When revived, he asked, why was he so affected? We referred to God many times in the prayer service. However, he said he was reminded of the story in the Talmud when Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai came to the Roman king and greeted him and gave him a greeting to the king. And he was answered, if I am the king, then where have you been until now? And so to Rav Aharon Karlin, when he said HaMelech, the king, he wondered, and where was he until now, until Rosh Hashanah? Why did he not turn to God as he is now on Rosh Hashanah? It is for this reason that he fell into a faint. As we mentioned yesterday, the holidays in the Jewish calendar, although in the Chumash they are referred to as having one day, outside the land of Israel they have 2 days, as we explained yesterday. Rosh Hashanah is unique in that even in the land of Israel it is 2 days. And furthermore, it's not considered to be 2 separate days, it's considered like one long day, Yom Ha'arichta. The laws of Yontav prohibit the acts of work which are prohibited on Shabbos, with the exception of those associated with food preparation. Yesterday we mentioned a number of acts which, although seemingly connected with the preparation of food, are nevertheless prohibited on Yontav. Even those acts which are permitted on Yontav, such as cooking, have certain limitations. For example, one can only cook on Yom Tov that which can be prepared only on Yom Tov without ruining its taste. If something would taste the same if prepared the day before Yom Tov, such as applesauce or jello or something of the sort, one must prepare it on the day before Yom Tov. And in that case, cooking it on Yom Tov is not allowed. So too, the act of cooking must be something which is necessary for all people. It must be for physical enjoyment and equal for everyone. Therefore, although water can be heated in order to drink, it may not be heated in order to bathe. Cooking is also permitted only for a Jew and not for a non-Jew, and therefore we refrain from inviting non-Jews to the table for Yom Tov. So too, the act must be connected with the preparation of the food itself, not something to prepare for the preparation. For example, a skewer, a shput, which has become bent, may not be straightened out in order to place food upon it for barbecuing. This is not done with the food. Since it is done with a piece of metal, it is prohibited. Carrying outside from a private domain to public domain, although it is allowed to be done not only with food, but even with non-food items, it nevertheless must be done with items which are necessary for the holiday and which will be used at that time. One, for example, may carry a siddur, a prayer book, for use in the synagogue for prayer. And one can even bring it home, says the Shulchan Aruch, even if he will not use it at home. But our sages said that he is allowed to for fear that he will not bring it the first time. However, should one bring the siddur to shul before Yom Tov, then there is no leniency that he is allowed to bring it back on Yom Tov. Only if it will be used, when it will be brought home to be used on Yom Tov, is one allowed to carry it back. These are only a few of the laws of Yom Tov. Of course, rabbinic authority should be consulted when any question arises. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again.